This podcast was first broadcast on Mix 92.6. Go to mix92.6.com to find more Environment Matters podcasts. And if you enjoy what we do, to find out how you can support the station, which is run entirely by volunteers. I hope you enjoy the podcast. Welcome to Environment Matters with me, Amanda Yorworth. Environment Matters is the show that brings you news on issues of sustainability and the environment from around Hertfordshire and from further afield. As I've said here on Environment Matters a few times, there's lots going on in the world of regenerative farming here in Hertfordshire, with farmers putting it in practice, Rothamsted Research putting it through its paces scientifically, and the annual Groundswell Festival bringing 9,000 people each year to a working farm in North Herts to learn about, discuss and celebrate all things regenerative farming. And now there's another Hertfordshire event putting regenerative produce to the fore. The Hertfordshire Biodiversity and Regenerative Food Festival that's going to take place on St Peter Street in St Albans on the 3rd of May. The company organising the event is Regenerative Foods UK. And not only is it organising similar festivals around the country, but also creating an online directory of regenerative producers and also sharing information on farm visits on its website to allow us to visit local farms to see how our food is produced. I spoke to Lewis Beresford, Director of Regenerative Foods UK, and I started by asking him where the idea for the company had come from and what was its mission.
I mean, really, it's a product of the last maybe 15 or 20 years of my life and my kind of professional experience. But also, I grew up on a sheep farm in the Peak District. That's kind of where the initial enthusiasm for food production and interest in what does it mean to produce food in a way that is aligned and within the boundaries of the kind of ecological system that you're working in. So alongside that, you know, I started running events around the country 10 years ago. 2016 was the first one I did. So for a long time, I thought, well, I'd quite like to match up those two ideas, events, which, yeah, I've been doing a long time, and look at sustainable food production and bringing that into to towns and cities kind of across the UK. So the idea for the Biodiversity and Regenerative Food Festivals was a product of that, really. I spent a long time, 3 years, basically just reading books around agroecology and rewilding and sustainable food systems and all this kind of stuff. And thought, well, maybe there's something that we can do where we marry the ideas of biodiversity and landscape regeneration alongside sustainable food production and organics and that kind of thing. So that's really where the concept came from. And we tested out the concept in a few locations last year in Cambridge, Norwich and Sheffield, just to see if people understood what we were trying to get at. People were, you know, cared about it. And also what kind of response we could get from stallholders, if we could actually put this sort of event together, whether it was possible. And yeah, and it seemed like it was. So the event side of things was very much the sort of core part of the business. And then the additional elements are the directory being quite a natural progression for when you spend time putting together these events. There's a lot of getting in touch with local producers, farmers, market gardeners, and kind of secondary producers, community gardens, all these kind of people. And so the directory is sort of a natural progression of that. And then the farm tours is actually something. So I did a course at SRUC up in Aberdeen in sustainable agriculture. And part of that, we did farm tours, sort of mostly kind of mixed organic farms, which, you know, I'd grown up around farms. You know, I've been on a lot of farms, mostly Peak District farms, I guess, which are quite different to, you know, there's not really much arable, tiny bit kind of further south, but not much. And that was, I just thought that was brilliant. And I you know, from talking to farmers that host these tours, they found it a really fascinating and transformative process to run the tours and kind of connect with people, you know, that were in their area and just kind of show them what they were doing. So yeah, so those are kind of the three elements to it, and that's the kind of the background to why we're sort of, yeah, why we're where we're at now.
So you say on your website that you're about regenerative and not just sustainable food production. What do you see as being the distinction there, and why do you think regenerative is better?
Yeah, it's a really interesting question, isn't it? It's obviously something that is talked about a lot. Does regenerative mean anything, or, you know, it depends who you ask, doesn't it? I think it's a really interesting tool and interesting way to get people thinking about how food production actually can affect the land itself. You know, organic is obviously has been around a long time, has all the legal frameworks, a lot of those protections, which are really important. But if you ask people, what does organic mean? People often say it means, you know, no pesticides, no herbicides, and it, you know, a lot of what isn't allowed, as opposed to the kind of broader circular themes of soil health and integration of livestock, you know, into mixed systems. So I think regenerative is a really useful way of connecting with a broader audience about how food production can be aligned with ecological restoration. So I think whilst there are problems with it, you know, when you have, I don't know, McCain's chips running adverts around how their potatoes are farmed regeneratively, yeah, I you know, those aren't necessarily things that I think are particularly helpful. But what I do think is it's a phrase that people respond to. I think it's intuitive in some ways. So yeah, because regenerative doesn't have a specific definition, I think from a farmer's perspective, it can be quite helpful because it's very context driven. What works in Northumberland in 1 year on a mixed organic farm might be, well, it wouldn't necessarily be on an organic farm, but might be slightly different to what works in Sussex, you know, in a different year. So there's definitely that side of things. The adaptability, yeah, is an advantage. But from our side, I think it's more about how you can communicate these ideas to the broader public and just get people interested in it. That's really what we're trying to do, is just get people to engage with their local food systems and kind of think about what effect they can have and how they can kind of make change with where they spend their money.
Yeah, indeed. So I'm interested, you say you have spent a long time reading about food systems, regenerative, sustainable, organic, or whatever. I just wondered how important you felt it was that your background started back in farming rather than you being somebody who came from an urban situation trying to tell farmers what to do.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's maybe a bit more of a unique position. It's certainly, I think it really helps knowing what farmers are like. You know, I know a lot of farmers and I know there are a very broad range of approaches and ideas. So, yeah, I think, you know, you can read all the academic papers or books written by academics that you like. But being on the ground, you know, on a rainy, snowy February day and actually doing that kind of work, it's a very different proposition to, you know, writing a paper. But I think for me, it's that kind of real connection to growers. So me and my sisters, we managed some land up in the Peak District. So I was actually up there this week. I dug 1,000 holes for, we were planting trees for a shelter belt. So I think having that kind of connection to the land and going through that thought process of how, you know, you've got this piece of land, how are you going to manage it in a way that enhances the biodiversity of the site, but also you can produce food on it. Those practical questions are actually really helpful when you're trying to then think about, well, how can we communicate this to the broader public? And then also, when you're talking to farmers, you know, convincing them that you're not just, it's not just a phrase, it's not just a marketing thing. There's more to it than that. So, yeah, I think it's very helpful building connections with growers if you kind of have a bit of that sort of understanding yourself.
I'm sure it does. So we've got the Hertfordshire Biodiversity and Regenerative Food Festival coming up on the 3rd of May on St. Peter Street in St. Albans. Just wondered why this will be better or different than other events we have, things like our farmers market or the vegan fair that we've had a couple of times.
Yeah, I mean, in some ways there will be crossover with both of those events. What we're really trying to do with the event is marry those two ideas of, you've got Hertfordshire, you know, it's a fairly broad, diverse region, you know, a lot of urban areas, but also quite a lot of agricultural production happens there. So can you bring together the organisations that are working to enhance the biodiversity and the landscape regeneration of that county? So that might be national charities, local charities, it might be community groups, community growers, gardens, these kind of organisations. Can you bring them together with the people that are working the land in a way that's sort of sensitive to that? So for us, that means the organic market gardeners and farmers of the region. Can you bring those two often sides of society that don't mix a lot? And can you do that in a way that is educational and interesting? So that's what we're doing. So the farmers market, obviously in St Albans, that's a big thing. There will be producers that I'm sure do that farmers market, but we're just trying to shift the focus a bit onto more of an educational and interesting event where people can come and figure out if they do want to get involved in community growing, or they do want to get involved in conservation volunteering, how do they do that? How do they get involved? And if they're more interested in purchasing from their local growers, then maybe that's something they can learn about as well. Or it might be soil health or kind of seed swaps or that kind of stuff, if they're interested in that. So yeah, that's really what we're trying to do. So yeah, there is a bit of crossover, but hopefully people appreciate there's a slightly different approach to things.
Yeah, it sounds like there's a bit more information and education rather than just buying stuff. So yeah, that sounds good. And it's not just going to be food either, is it? You've got other things as well.
Yeah, I made a list of what I thought were the more interesting stalls that we've got booked in so far. So we do have a few organic market gardeners, but we have the Soil Squad, which are like a local community interest company who kind of focus on composting and sort of education about soil health. So they're quite an interesting local business. We've got the Wilder Hood Watch, which focus on kind of gardening for wildlife, which you think, you know, we've had... One of the interesting businesses we had at some of the events last year was a garden designer who focused on biodiversity. So they're probably going to come along as well. And I think that, again, it's like an information approach. How can you, you know, if you're managing your garden space, how can you do that in a way that's sort of more sensitive to the wildlife of the region? So, yeah, so not just food. It's called a food festival. So we do have elements of what people would expect from that name, but also, yeah, a bit more kind of bit of interest, and so hopefully a bit of chance for people to engage with people doing some really interesting stuff in their region.
Well, both of those, both the Soil Squad and the Wilderhood Watch have featured here on Environment Matters quite a few times. So great that you're able to give them a platform as well. So what's the vibe like at your festivals? You've held plenty before. What kind of vibe can we look forward to?
Yeah. I mean, absolutely. The one that sort of springs to mind, the one we did in Norwich last year, we had the stall next to one of the community gardens, and it was just brilliant. A really lovely community vibe, lots of people kind of coming along and figuring out what opportunities there were for them to get involved in community growing. So yeah, I mean, there'll be a kind of bustle about the day, people learning about what they can get involved in and picking up some treats to take home. Just a really interesting vibe, very open. You know, there's no assumption that people have to know something to come along. You know, if they just have to be interested and kind of want to learn a bit more, whether they're more interested in the biodiversity side of things and the kind of nature conservation, or whether they're more interested in the kind of organic food production, a very welcoming vibe, I would say.
Marvellous. And how about, are you still looking for stallholders? About if we've got a local business or a local group, how do you go about connecting?
So anyone interested in getting involved, just either head to our Instagram pages or the website and just get in touch. So it's just regenerativefoodstock.co.uk or regenfoodsuk on Instagram. Yeah, really keen to get as many local businesses and community groups and organisations involved as we can.
Excellent. And presumably those are the places that we head to if we're interested in coming along and just want to keep up with the latest news.
Yeah, absolutely. That's right. Yeah. So anyone who is interested, we'll be 2 months, isn't it, at the start of May. So yeah, not long to go. It'll soon come around, I'm sure.
It certainly will do. Lewis, thank you very much indeed for joining me on Environment Matters today.
Thank you, Amanda.
I was talking there to Lewis Beresford of Regenerative Food UK. And I'll put a link to the Regenerative Food website where you can find out more about the forthcoming Hertfordshire Biodiversity and Regenerative Food Festival, but also see the online Regenerative Producers Directory and the Diary of Farm Visits into the notes that go with the podcast of this show and that you'll find on the podcast page of mix926.com. Now, you don't have to wait until May to become a food producer yourself, of course. Now is a great time to plant seeds for your own food crops, either in your garden, in pots on your patio, or even on your windowsill. Now, I'm a particular fan of rocket. It grows like a rocket, probably where it gets its name from. Tasty addition to any salad. And often when you buy it from a shop in a plastic bag, it tends to get a bit mushy. So it's a great option for growing at home. And another thing I love to grow is tomatoes, which are very easy to grow on your patio or perhaps in a greenhouse. They give a really long season of picking. And when you grow them at home, oh my goodness, they're better than any premium tomato that you can buy in the shops. And remember, if you are growing at home and you're buying bagged compost to grow in, if it doesn't say peat-free on the bag, it will certainly contain peat. And so you'll be contributing to the destruction of an unbelievably valuable habitat and carbon sink. If you can't see a peat-free compost in your local garden centre, then do tell them what you're looking for and say that you're looking to purchase peat-free. The quality of peat-free compost, I mean, it's improved hugely over recent years, and there's even an excellent lime-free compost for lime-hating plants like azaleas and rhododendrons. So no excuses for peat at all. So will you be looking to grow some of your own food this year? Well, I'd love to hear your plans. Drop me a line at amanda.yorworth@mix926.com or look for Environment Matters on Mix 92.6 on Facebook. I'll be with you at the same time next week. Do join me then. And thank you for listening.